have someone that we've not brought on the show before, Saint Bernadette. What would you like to say about
Bernadette? I certainly have a mother connection, you know, and I know of Saint Bernadette because I was raised Catholic, so I call myself culturally Catholic in some ways. But I have not channeled Saint Bernadette very often. I often feel her presence, but she's, you know, she's not a big talker. I don't know how else to put it. But boy, as soon as the three of us started talking about Prudence, she was jumping up and down, you know, in my office saying, I want to be the one. And, you know, very often what we see, well, a couple of things. Very often what we see when we talk about saints or gurus or ascended beings is, you know, their mature self. But the being that's been appearing to me, and she's standing right here, was the girl, the 14-year-old girl who had that initial vision of, you know, the Divine Mother, or Mother Mary, as some people think of it. So she has been very present. The other thing I wanted to say, again, asking her and talking to her over the last couple of weeks as we've been planning this resurgence, was why Prudence? Because, you know, I would have thought of Saint Bernadette maybe in terms of fortitude or humility, but no, she's very insistent on Prudence. Now, her story is that she was, she's French, and for those of you who don't know, she's the one who had the visions at Lourdes that became a sacred healing place, and many people of every faith or no faith, of every description and culture, go to Lourdes to take the healing waters. And there have been many miraculous healings documented, miraculous healings of people who were crippled or terminal, who have taken the waters at Lourdes, France, and who have been completely healed. Now, Bernadette, this young girl in France, born in 1844, you know, so was desperately, desperately poor. Her family lived in a dungeon. You know, in the nicer pieces of information, they call it a basement. But when you go to the French translation, it really means that they lived, because think of the time, they lived in a one room, and there were nine of them, one room dungeon in the basement of a relative. She was very sickly. She had ill health. She'd had cholera as a child, and as a result suffered from asthma for her whole life, contracted TB, lots of digestive problems. And this relates to so many of us who, and I include myself because I have asthma and I've had TB, who have had these health challenges, and yet for whatever reason, you know, using your words, Graham, she stayed the course. And Saint Bernadette was guided to this area where there was, it was just out in the fields, and where she started to have these visions. And she was guided by this lady, quote unquote, who would appear in a rose bush, and did over the course of, I think there's about 60 visions that she had. Eventually she was told to dig in the mud. And people of her village and the police and the district attorney, you know, these male power figures tried to stop her and control her. But she started digging in the mud, and from that flowed this wonderful spring of healing waters. Now, that analogy can't be lost on any of us, because I think if we're talking about the elephant in the room, so many of us have felt, you know, in this what's next, that we've been digging in the mud.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, praying for this wonderful healing water, this spring, to come on up and cleanse and heal us and help us on our way. So when I was refreshing my memory about who Bernadette was, it was like I'm laughing. I'm thinking, okay, this is why you want to go first, because you've been there, done that. And then what she did after, because I think she was a very private person. She was, you know, had no desire to be a public figure. She retreated. She went into a nunnery, became a nun, and basically, because of her physical fragility, really retreated from the world. The thing I wanted to say that she asked me actually this morning to talk about the issue of saints. You know, none of the beings that I channel, other than Saint Germain, because that's a family name, not because he's a quote-unquote Catholic saint, identify themselves as saint. They don't think of themselves that way. If you think when we've had Saint Francis on the show, he doesn't say, this is Saint Francis. He says, this is Francis, you can call me Frank. So they are speaking to us in a universal way, not as some Catholic being that has been, you know, tagged as someone special. In fact, most of the saints really shy away from that nomenclature. So that's the story of Saint Bernadette, and she's standing here as in some peasant kind of garb, and she's got the most deep, almost black eyes that you can see the soul through. And she's plain, but she's got that light of, you know, a young girl, a young woman, as they are becoming. So she's beautiful. So she's the one that's going to talk with us today. But the other thing I want to say is, just as we get started in our meditation, is that the exercise, because you know we always work a lot with color, but the exercise, the overall exercise, when you're working with the blessings and virtues, is to work with the silver ray. And you begin with the breathing in of 7 deep breaths of this silver ray. Now, prudence in and of itself, and the council has said, you know, that prudence actually is a very unusual trait for Earth. I think prudence is one of those things that we see our star brothers and sisters and maybe the ascended ones practice, because it's all about moderation and it's all about balance. And, you know, when we're in that place of temperance and moderation and balance, that really defeats drama. So the colors of prudence are halion, which, if you recall, is one of the star being colors, and Saron, which is again one of the new colors and the new rays, and that's the color of high heart, of where your thymus is. So I thought what we'd do today in terms of our meditation is work a little with those colors and just really sink in and allow this prudence to blossom within us.
So,
make yourself comfy. and relax into your chair or your bed or wherever it is you're sitting. Maybe you're sitting on the floor. But simply give yourself credit and a hug and gratitude for being here and for choosing in your sacred self and in your human self for embracing these divine qualities. So let's begin. Feel yourself getting heavier, letting go of the day, the week, as we take 7 breaths of the silver ray in through your nose, holding it for a little second, out through your mouth. Open your crown. See it as the aperture of the camera, opening to wide angle, that beautiful lotus flower. And the silver ray is also the ray of Archangel Uriel. And Uriel, as we know, is the archangel who says he is the bringer of the future. But he also says now that the future is now. And we are in that eternal now. So think of silver. Think of the flash of blades on a skate. The silver on a water, on a lake or the ocean. When the sun shines just a certain way before a storm. The silver of a grandmother's wedding ring. And the gray of storm clouds. Allow yourself to feel all the range of silver into the grays and the grays tinged with violet and lavender. And just feel yourself breathing in and letting that silver flame of Uriel penetrate your 3rd and 4th eye and the center of the palms of your hands. And this silver ray is the ability to see into situations and even in the darkest places or the darkest night of the soul. The silver flame is always there for us. So breathe it in. 3, 4, 6. And on the 7th, let's bring all that energy down into your heart and anchor more deeply into that wonderful center, into that heart consciousness, into the totality of who you are. Because my beloved friends and family, you are incredible. Now let's begin to work with the rays of prudence. Halion. Halion was once a planet, evolved to sheer energy. They know all about ascension. The Halion engineers. The color of Halion is electric blue, mint green, like lightning bolts of blue, that beautiful cobalt blue. So breathe it in. There's a touch of lavender there. And let it fill your heart, your head, your torso, your legs. And let those Halion engineers in to construct and reconstruct anything within any of your fields and bodies that needs attention, to bring you into perfect balance, not only with the universe, but with who you are. And now let's take another deep breath of Saron. And Saron is that peachy, pinky, gold color that is the color of the peach fuzz or a perfect sunset. And it swirls and it moves, and breathe it in. And feel that high heart, which is your center for harmony, for balance. And feel that heart, your heart chakra and your higher heart chakra opening and blossoming like the perfect peach rose. I am Bernadette. Bonjour. It is my honor and my privilege to speak to you this day. And always, of course, I speak on behalf of the Sacred Mother. But I also speak to you from my experience as a human being, as a young girl, and later as a woman. No, not a nun, a woman who chose her path despite many obstacles. Yes, I speak to you about prudence, but I also speak to you about these obstacles. What you will call human obstacles, because let me tell you, when I began to share first with my sister and my good friend Marie-France, that I was seeing a lady, not only were they afraid, they thought that I was crazy. And you, my friends, have experienced much the same thing when you have said, well, we are going to shift dimensions. We are going to take care of one another. We are going to lift up out of the poverty in every sense of the word, of the human existence, and we are going to be prudent in our actions, not only with ourselves, but with one another. We are not going to interfere in the passage of another being, but we are going to be there as support and sometimes the observer, Many have thought you crazy, no? And it does not matter, because you are being true to your sacred self. And you are practicing not only prudence, but you are also practicing temperance and balance and moderation. And when you are away shore, this is of particular importance. When you are a teacher or a channeler, as you have been talking about, yes, of course I have been listening in, when you have been talking about your increased intuition, you know very well when to say something and when to keep quiet. And this is a very important quality, to know exactly where to place the word, where to place the energy, where to place the look in the eye, the smile on your lips, the touch of the hand. That is encouragement, not theft. And when to stay still and understand that in that quietude that you are holding the energy for the person or the group that you are working with, and that this is something that they need to proceed with, that they are perhaps not quite ready to hear, or that it is something that they need to discover for themselves. This quality of giving others the opportunity to discover something for themselves is often overlooked and underrated. You see it all the time in the petits enfants, the little children, that it is so important for them to understand how things work. You will see them sit and stare at something, explore it, bring it in their mouth, in their hands, until they have a concept of what it is, and then they begin to play with it, or they discover that it is foul tasting, and they avoid it. And it is in this way that so many human beings learn. But I also wish to speak to you, my dear friends. My dear friends, that I have offered my help and guidance to for many, many years. No, I am not just speaking of the healing waters, because I cannot and do not claim that as my assistance to you. That is a gift directly from the Divine Mother. So other than digging in the dirt, it has very little to do with me. So when I have stepped forward and I have offered my assistance to you, I do not do so as some miracle worker. I do so as a sister and a fellow journey being. I do so in prudence, and that is why you do not hear me talk a mile a minute or all the time, because I feel that I can be a far more help, simply helping you to discover your balance. When you have learned in your culture how to skate, how to ride a surfboard, how to ride a buffalo, how to ride a bicycle, how to ride a skis or those boards that you use now, you can receive instruction, and it is very helpful. And there is much instruction available to you on the sacred passage. But there is that moment where you find your center of balance and everything falls into position, into place. It clicks in. And that is not something that can be taught. And even when the instructor demonstrates it time and time again, it only happens when it occurs for you. And it is this place of your center of balance. Now, in this process of ascension, all energy and all focus has been on the love and on the heart. But you will notice that in prudence, the focus is on the halion, which is at the bottom of your rib cage, and your connection to the star beings, your brothers and sisters, who are very present not only above, but in your neighborhoods as well. And the Sirion, which is the high heart. Now, why is this so? Because when you are opening both of these centers, what you are doing is allowing now for the heart, without interference, to come into balance, into that place of moderation. Moderation, and particularly in the current Western civilization, is not always a very popular notion. And yet it is an absolutely necessary and essential ingredient to your forward movement in ascension and in the anchoring of Nova Being and Nova Earth. Because in moderation there is no high drama. Now that does not mean that there are not moments of incredible excitement. Do you not think, my share, that when I saw the lady, that there was not great excitement in my heart, in my mind, in my very body, felt like it was on fire? Excitement is absolutely wondrous. It is akin to the virtue of awe and joy. So do not think that prudence is so blasé. It is not. It is in the place of moderation. And so it is the balancing between this fire and the healing waters. And let me say to you, before I step aside, because I do not wish to usurp all your time, that any water is healing water. When you say a prayer to the mother and you ask her to bless your water, to turn it into the sacred healing waters, that request and that prayer is always heard. And as you sip that water, I will be there with you, So I am not one of the more fancy or gregarious beings, but I wish you to know that I am with you, and I know what it is to have your faith tested. Be strong, my beloved ones. Farewell.
That was wonderful. Something might have happened with Graham's internet. Would it be possible for me to ask Bernadette a question?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm excited to be speaking with you, Bernadette, and I feel like you feel like a sister to me. And I feel that following the divine qualities is intuitive and natural, and I'm just wondering, for people who feel that they can't access their intuition and guidance, have you got any advice for them?
It is not a matter of simply feeling that you are intuitive or that you are blessed in some extraordinary way. In fact, that is why we have outlined and suggested the practice of each of the blessings and virtues. It is not so much expansion as anchoring, and in the anchoring is the expansion. So yes, I can be very practical, and it is a matter of practice. So do not become discouraged. But for example, when you are practicing prudence, and you can say this on a weekly basis, that this is my week and this is why we have chosen to do it this way, that this is my week of prudence. And you can check yourself. So when you are doing something, and it is very important that prudence takes into account yourself. So, for example, you are sitting down to think about or to prepare a meal. Now, as a child, I often went hungry. And when the rare occasion occurred where there was bounty or much to eat, I have to tell you that all of us stuffed ourselves. Now, was that prudence? No, because in fact our bodies were not used to processing so much food. So think of it in this way: when you are thinking about what to cook for your family, for yourself, for your dîner, then you look and you have 12 pieces of vegetables and 2 pieces of different meat, perhaps. You have different drinks. You have water. You have very often too much. Now, this comes from a sense of wanting security. And it also comes from a sense of, when you are eating, it is often social, but it is also celebration. It is a sacred time for many families. In fact, for many families, it is the only time that you are sitting together or gathering together. But one of the ways in which you can practice prudence is to look at the food and say, now, is this truly prudence and balance and moderation? Or am I overdoing it? Am I wasting? Am I cooking for tomorrow? Is this ridiculous? Or is this what we need for the day? Very often, you have a tendency to fly into the old way, which is blame of self. And you take responsibility for something that you have done or not done, and you go on and on and on. Not necessarily to whoever you have offended or mistreated, but to yourself. That is not in balance. That is not in moderation. That is not in temperance or prudence. The prudence is to acknowledge where you have gone awry, to look at it, to do whatever repair work is necessary, including especially letting it go, to apologize to yourself, to the universe, to whomever you have harmed, and then to proceed. It is not to dwell on it day after day after day. I made a mistake. I can never go on. That is not prudent. That is not kindness. So bring it to the practical level of how you live your life. Is it prudent to spend $300 on a pair of jeans or not? Now, if you are saying it is prudent because these jeans will last me a lifetime, and by the way, I am giving myself a treat, then fine. But examine your motivations first. Live in that place of balance, because it is going to make you feel better. It is going to make yourself feel that you are exactly where you need to be. This is the reward of prudence. It is not prudence for prudence's sake. It is that it leads you to a place where you feel that you are not living in scarcity and you are not living in drama. Because what I suggest to you, dear one, is that a $300 pair of jeans is drama. Is this clear?
Thank you so much for speaking to that, St. Bernadette, and I want to thank you for joining us today. I feel your energy, and I feel this wonderful connection with you. Why is that?
Because I am one of you. I am not some distant saint. And let me tell you, all three of you, and most of you who have been listening, have had occasion to visit me at Lourdes, to visit me in France. Now, I say that, not that we were there all at the same time, although many of us were, but also in other situations you have talked about by location or leaving your imprint somewhere. Well, I have left my imprint not only at Lourdes, not only in France, but on your heart. I do not wish to be some ascended master that you honor. I do not place myself in that category. I wish to be your friend. I wish to be your sister. I wish to be the one who helps you out.
And your presence and your assistance is most welcome. I was thinking, as you were sharing earlier about moderation, I was talking with my 9-year-old son this past weekend, and we were talking about moderation, and I was describing to him or sharing with him what that word meant, and I talked about everything in moderation. And this little bubby, he comes back to me and he says, "Well, Dad, not love." Wow, how delightful. You know what? We can't have enough of that. You have experienced, while on Earth, you experience considerable hardship. little bit more about staying the course when things feel so challenged, when there is so much criticism, or when one follows the road less traveled, the support doesn't feel like it's there, and there's judgment from others, and people don't understand. What can you share a little bit about your own process and guidance and assistance around staying the course, following one's own intuition, and not giving in to the pressures of others?
Yes, I can. Now, when I was within the cocoon of my family, even after the visions, but particularly beforehand, although we were very poor, and as I have said, there was rarely enough, there was a very strong component of faith, and the faith and trust that was embedded within me from my mother and father was very strong, so that there was an acknowledgement that although we did not have the riches of many in society, we had this other richness. And that sustained us. And we did not look to the sacred, beloved mother or the father as some distant deity, but someone who helped us out on a daily basis. So that was the background. Now, when I first began to see the lady, it was so beautiful, magnificent. Not just her beauty, but the light that filled her and then filled me, what I have described as a sacred fire. It gave me no choice. So you may call me a very stubborn child. And believe me, they did. Because as this began, they wished me to recant what I was saying. Because such occasions of visitation do not happen to a young, poor child who has no stature, who has no place, no claim in society. So they were very rough with me, and they were quite cruel. Oh, I have long since forgiven them, even at the time. But I could not betray the lady. I could not lie. And I knew, despite the fact that no one else could see what I was seeing or hear the messages that I was hearing, that I could not deny this precious gift. Let's face it, it was the only gift, other than my family, that I was ever given. And even when the lady instructed me to do what many were thinking were quite bizarre undertakings, such as digging in the mud, even eating the mud, eating the grass that grew from the spring. They thought that I was becoming more deeply psychotic. They did not use that word in those times, but that was it. And they threatened, if I continued, that they would simply lock me up, that they would put me away in an asylum. And I suggest to you that the asylums for the insane at that time were nothing like you have today. But I still could not deny. And I emphasize this stubbornness, this stick-to-itness, yes, fortitude, because this is what many of you are facing. How can you do this without any external evidence? Where is the proof? Well, finally, and quite quickly, thank goodness, the proof came in the spring that flowed and healed others. But each of you are truly facing this dilemma. Where is the proof? And this is one of the reasons why this Council of Love has asked you to focus on the blessings and virtues. Because the proof, the landmarks, the markers have become internal rather than external. And this is something new for you to learn. This is a quality of Nova being. And so you are learning a new way of measuring proof. And it is within. And when I had this proof within me, I would rather die. I would rather be locked away than deny what I knew to be true. I could not do this. And neither can you.
Thank you so much for speaking to that. When you speak about having no choice or not denying what you feel, I so resonate with that. And we were talking earlier about the vision of Nova Earth, and that I feel like I have no choice but to work for it, work toward it. And I can't deny the feelings that I have that it's unfolding and it's happening, even though one could argue, well, the external benchmarks aren't there. I feel it. And you've been talking about the internal knowingness. So I really appreciate you speaking to that. I'd love to, Linda, I'd love to bring you on so you can share some of your comments. And for those of you that are listening on the show by phone, if you'd like to ask a question or two prior to our closing the show in about 13 or so minutes, just hit one and Suzanne will bring you on. Feel free to share a comment or ask a question. Linda, what's coming up for you?
Oh, I have to tell you, I am in the bliss. I also, it's funny because, you know, I've said to you before that Archangel Gabriel is my go-to angel, my gal. And one of the ways, in a very teasing way, that Archangel Gabriel describes me is, she says, "Child, you are as stubborn as a pig on a rope." Now you have to picture that, you know, trying to walk a pig, right? And when they don't want to go somewhere, they don't go. And I've always taken that as a compliment. And I know, especially in the early days, when I actually had a plan in place, if I get locked up with a few trusted friends, come and get me. I know exactly what Bernadette is talking about, because there is this feeling, and it wouldn't matter if I never channeled again, that I know it's real. I know it's true. I know, and they can't, you can't deny it, because it's as solid as this chair that I'm sitting in. And it is this, you know, I can remember the conversations, you know, Linda, you've got a good job, you know, you're doing good work. Like, why are you going off on this tangent and talking to angels? Please come back. And there was no turning back. There just isn't, because you just know, like, this is what I have to do. Now, I think what I've learned, I hope what I, well, learned and learning, because I still do it sometimes, is this prudence is, you know, in the early days, I really tried to shove this down people's throats. I was so excited. I wanted to share it, and I wanted you to believe and, you know, get the vision, get the program. And I think I've learned, like, you know, people will get it when they're ready to get it. But that doesn't mean that you don't say anything. You just drop these seeds, just like Susie did in the parking lot at the grocery store. You drop the seeds and they fertilize. And when the time is right, you know, people get it. Now, of course, right now, with the building of Nova Earth and Ascension, we're on this, you know, my God, we're doing NASCAR. We're speeding. So we don't have to. It's not so slow. And you know what else Bernadette is showing us? It wasn't so slow for her. I mean, these visions occurred over a period of a couple of years. The spring came up. Finally, they said, oh, my God, you're right. They're healing waters. You know? And then what she did was said, okay, now I've done my job and I'm going to retreat. I'm going to do something else because that piece of the journey is done. But she held the course. You know, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking of Juan Diego, the saint, as we think of them, in Mexico, who had the visions of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And it was the same situation. You know, he kept going to the bishop, and they beat him up. They threw him out in the street because he was some crazy peasant who said he was seeing, you know, the Divine Mother on the hilltop. And it wasn't until there was some tangible evidence that they began to believe him. So I think where we are right now is we're staying the course, and the tangible evidence is coming.
Thanks, Linda, for speaking to that. Thanks so much. I am off the internet, so I can't see, Susie, if there are callers coming in or if you're trying to communicate with me. Susie, do you have a caller to bring on, or do you have any closing comments?
Hi. No, there are actually no callers right now. I just really appreciate everything that's been said, and especially the part about staying the course, because I feel the same way. I mean, I'm kind of isolated, so it doesn't really matter to me if anybody thinks I'm crazy. I'll just do what I'm doing anyway, because there really is no other choice. This is my life. This is my interest. This is what I'm all about right now. So for me to get a job at the supermarket or something like that, it's just not possible. I'm just not a good worker bee anymore, and that's fine. You know, I celebrate that I am this way now. And it's a very freeing kind of feeling.
It's
amazing how many of us are isolated, you know. I mean, we have this community, this online community and this radio community. But so many of us are really out there in the boonies, even if it's in the middle of a city, by ourselves.
The marker, the internal marker, we spoke a little bit about this already, but how are you two feeling compared to, like, internally, in terms of your level, in terms of the qualities that you feel within? And I'm talking about the peace and the calm and the love and the ability to experience and receive love and give love and the capacity to have gratitude. How has that changed over the last year or so for you?
You go, Linda.
It's exploded for me. And it's funny because at the same time, and this is more recent, and, you know, we go through phases, attached, detached, but I do feel more detached. And that's part of, I think, letting go of the drama, because it just can eat you up. But the big love, I could describe it that way, that I feel has really grown. And the gratitude that I feel has really just exploded. Like, I am really grateful for what I have.
Mm.
I don't mean just materially. I mean in every way, shape, and form. And what I'm finding is the more gratitude I have, the more that I have to be grateful for.
How about you, Susie? It's coming up for you. Susie, are you with us?
Did we lose our Susie? One of the things that the council has really recommended is that when you're working with each of these virtues, you know, if you were at a Council of Love workshop, we would do an interactive, almost like mini theater thing to demonstrate a virtue. But to pick an object or a situation or something tangible where you can look at it, you know, so eventually you'll have 13 things that represent to you the quality of prudence. You know, maybe it's a bowl of fruit, because that would represent prudence and balance in our eating. But something tangible that you can look at and say, okay, this is my reminder. Maybe it's a stone, but something that you can hold on to and that can remind you that you are in that place of everything is in the correct measure.
Mm, very nice. Linda, what do you think about bringing St. Bernadette on for some closing remarks?
All right. Bye-bye.
All right.
Hi, I'm Bernadette.
Welcome back. What would you like to share for our listeners today as we wrap up today's show?
It is not in reference to the prudence. It is in reference to the joy. Because, of course, in the moderation and the balance, you will find the joy. This is something that you have not talked or asked me about a lot this day. But in my life, in my visitations with the lady, with my life that followed, and with my life with each of you, because do not think that my life, my existence is over. It is not. I find enormous joy. This gladness of my heart And so this is something that I would also like you to bring forth in your life. So often prudence is seen in the way of denial, and that is of the old way. Prudence is not denial. It is being in the balance of your joy and doing, not just thinking or holding faith and trust, but doing what brings you joy.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us today. We really do appreciate your being with us and joining us on this journey.
It is my honor, and I give you my blessings, each and every one of you, my beloved friends. Goodbye.
Farewell. Thank you.
It always comes back to love and joy. It always comes back to love.
Love is in the air, everywhere I look around. Love is in the air, every sight and every sound. And I don't know if I'm being foolish, don't know if I'm being wise, but it's something that I must believe in, and it's there when I look in your eyes. Love is in the air, in the whisper of the trees. Love is in the air, in the thunder of the sea. And I don't know if I'm just dreaming, don't know if I feel safe, but it's something that I must believe in, and it's there when you call out my name. Love is in the air. Love is in the air.